The Damon Hahn Show. The Damon Hahn Show. The Damon Hahn Show. The Damon Hahn Show. The Damon Hahn Show.
Welcome to another episode of the Damon Hahn Show.
This is episode 136.
Dial it back a bit. E22.
122 or just 22?
It's 10 plus 10 plus 2.
I felt like we've had our 100th episode recently. That's not... I'm remembering that wrong?
You are.
Okay.
Not this show.
Episode 22. Should we sing a theme song?
In two more episodes, you could say that we've done 24 hours worth, a whole day's worth of blabs.
Well, more. Well, we've gone over an hour.
Well, some of them were, yeah, I guess. But I'm just saying it's about...
What about in three episodes, we'll have done a quarter of a century of episodes?
What?
I don't know. Isn't 25... 100 is a century in years? If each episode was a year...
Yes, if each episode was...
Dave.
Han.
The Dave and Han Show.
Now in stereo.
What?
Yep, stereo.
Well, here we are again. None Welcome. The wiser.
Now
some
maybe
the older.
Yeah. I was just going to say now maybe on iTunes.
It's been, what, a year since our last episode? No, I'm remembering everything wrong, right?
Our last episode was like 2 months ago.
I dated it in the future. I dated our last episode. We went to a restaurant.
Did you Dutch? Go double Dutch?
No, I paid for the whole thing.
Nice.
And then afterwards,
Classy.
One thing led to another.
As they often do.
And let's just say there was a feedback loop. so here we are, mucking about.
Are we done with the mucking, or shall we get with the...
Gluckin? Why don't you, let's lead us off, Han, and let's not start with Fakey E5. Let's keep our audience in suspense.
Okay, let's try a little thing I got going here.
Now, spoiler alert, I think we're going to be talking about TAM 2013.
Yes,
for
I
a
think...
significant chunk of this, but let's not even go there. What else you got?
Let's,
Fakey,
all right.
Look.
Oh, sure. Bookie look. I have a bookie look.
I love how I told you to like lead us off, and then I just told you which segment we're doing.
And I happen to have it ready.
Good.
My first book, I can't remember the author. Oh, I do remember the author. Ursula Le Guin's That Left Hand of Darkness.
Wait, do you have multiple books for your look?
No, just one.
Why'd you say my first book?
Well, my first book that I'm talking about... But it's the only book.
First of one. The Left Hand of Darkness.
Yes.
By Ursula
Le Guin.
Le Guin.
I'm about halfway through the book. It's an enjoyable read.
Now, I've read this book myself.
When's the last time you read it? When's the first time you read it? How many times have you read it?
Once. I read it in university. I don't want to say how many years ago that was.
Just for school or for...
Either a few...
For pleasure or for business?
Or a few and a bit. It was for a course. There was like a course of like science fiction reading.
Oh, nice. So you probably read classics like Neuromancer and...
Ender's Game.
Ender's Game,
Not
sure.
Not that one. I read Ender's Game.
So maybe some Dick.
Kind of... No Dick.
Really?
What's
That's
the other
strange.
Ones?
Asimov.
No.
No Asimov in a science fiction
so.
Course?
Yeah, good question. Okay, talk about the book while I try to think of...
Well, anyway, I'm only halfway through the book. So I'm still in, you know, in the middle of the plot, in the thick of it, as they say. I guess there's some interesting themes to the book. The one thing everyone talks about is how... I guess he's a diplomat or ambassador. He goes to this planet... And he's a humanoid, or
it
he is
to be
a human.
Earth at the end, right?
And he he finds the Statue of Liberty, and the inhabitants of this planet, they're humans as well.
His name is
but
Wark
they are,
What?
They are, I guess they're neuter. They don't have a sex except for a certain period of the month, in which case they spontaneously start becoming either male or female. But otherwise, the rest of the time, they're just like, they don't have a gender. They're genderless, as it were. Which is kind of an interesting social aspect, because everyone is like equally unattractive or attractive, and there's all kinds of politics going on, because, you know, you can be attracted or have a mate with anybody, but they have interesting rules around how that works, and their mating habits are.
Wait, is this in your society, or
it was a dream I had? Yeah, and
why would you? I read the book a few years ago, and I don't remember anything about it, especially this. Although I vaguely remember like sexless society.
I live in
a sexist. Trust me about that.
It's not explicitly sexless.
I meant genderless, really.
But it is gender. It's genderless because they mate, but they only take on the male or female role temporarily. Most of the time, they don't have a gender.
Okay.
Their private parts become whatever they
kinda
need
like to be.
Kind of like
B. Arthur, remember?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I apologize to B. Arthur's family.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting social political commentary. I'm really liking it so far.
You said you're about halfway through?
Halfway through. So right now, I guess there's two major clans. I don't know if they really could be called countries, but there's two major groups on the planet that this ambassador has just switched between. One is based on a kind of a monarchy, and the other one is kind of a bureaucratic society. So, yeah, it's good. Enjoyable read.
Well, I don't really want to spoil it for you, but at the end, everyone's a chick.
Nice. That's what I've been hoping
for. It actually sounds pretty boring. Like, your description of it sounds kind of really boring. Like, you expect epic space battles and planets being colonized.
It's mostly, like, tales, and it's told in terms of a flashback in a diary, so you get snippets
sounds exciting, a diary.
Of local folk stories as well as... So it's kind of like filling in this kind of interesting history of this alternate human society, which is... It's an interesting thought experiment, like, what would people be like if
they
were genderless?
Now, what about the parts? How does that work?
The male and female? They just form. What do you mean?
What do you mean they form on command?
No, on command. It's like it forms in response. Like if two people become attracted, one starts to take the male and one starts to take the female
like
form.
The male will grow.
Yeah, he'll grow the
Mr.
bits
Johnson.
And pieces.
Okay.
And the lady will grow the other way.
So they're like shapeshifters.
Yeah, but they only can become
crotch shifters?
They're crotch shifters, yeah. They shift from park to drive. Or reverse.
What? Okay. Oh, I get it now. That kind of shifting.
So that's all.
Takes me a while sometimes.
Yeah. That's okay.
Well, so that's what you're reading, eh? And how many on-demand penises up do you give it? Anyways. Okay. Actually, I know what book I was reading.
You're going to do a
so,
book?
So it's interesting. I read that book, but I don't really remember anything. I remember something about genders and stuff. There was also a character in a book... A Clive Barker book called Imagica?
Imagica? Yeah. Or Imagica.
Is that the one? You read that?
I don't think I did. I think
there's this character Pi, who is somehow a male and a female or something. That's what I remember.
Like a man lady? A lady boy?
No, somehow I don't remember. Right. I don't think it wasn't a hermaphrodite. It was someone who could be either one. Maybe they can...
Okay.
Spawn crotch
but
too.
Like I said, this is kind of an interesting like thought experiment. What would society be if everyone was one gender, and they could be male or female as need be when they're attracted to someone?
But I thought but you're not really attracted to people. I thought
they find other people attractive. They fall in love.
Woo.
But it's not like marriage, like two men and women, obviously. It's a different type of coupling or mate system. And yeah, it's kind of interesting book. I like it.
Okay. Now, my bookie look is a book that I just finished before the book I'm currently reading. Now, you used to or still watch Saturday Night Live, right?
Once in a Blue Moon.
But you used to watch it more in the old days?
Yeah, back in the old heydays. Yeah.
In the heydays. Do you remember Deep Thoughts?
Of course.
By Jack Handy. So, I always thought Jack Handy was just a made-up name that was means the SNL writers. Like, they made a character called Jack Handy.
Yeah.
But Jack Handy is an actual person who was an SNL writer during that time. And Jack Handy has written a few kooky little books about snippets like that and other things.
So it's just a book of little stories that are like...
Can I get to my bookie look, please?
Yep.
Okay. But just recently he released a novel that is a very funny novel. It's very silly. It's called The Stench of Honolulu. And it's some sort of adventure... Not some sort of. It's like an adventure story about a guy who's trying to find in Hawaii, Honolulu, a magical... Not magical. Some valuable relic. In a jungle. But it's extremely, like, every line is almost a joke. Like, the chapters are, like, very, very short, like, one or two pages each chapter. The, like, paragraphs are, like, kind of just one or two lines. Like, it's very, very short, very direct.
But super dense one-liners.
Yeah. And there's an overall story, but it's not like you don't read it for the plot. It's just like joke after joke after joke. I should have read. I guess I can.
Like a little snippet.
Yeah, but we're probably low on time for this episode. So it's very funny. I recommend it.
It's relatively short.
It's like 200 and something pages. It's by the man, Jack Handy, who actually exists. It's his first, like, fiction novel. And hopefully not his last.
Nice. How did you find out about it?
Our friend B, that's all I'll call him. I think we mentioned him on the show before.
Ms. Arthur?
Biz Arthur? Oh, B. Arthur? No. What'd you say?
Yeah, Arthur.
But I heard a Z in there.
No.
Oh. No, it was...
I might have Z'd it, but I meant Arthur.
It was recommended to me by a friend.
Okay.
I'm not doing quotes when I say that.
And, nice. Good on them.
Good on them.
So I see you have some... ESP cards there in your
hand.
Yeah,
I have 5 cards from the Zenner deck.
And I know all the
symbols. What are they?
If I think about it, there's a squiggly 3 wavy lines.
Okay.
There's a plus symbol, a star, a circle, and a square? Am I wrong?
You forgot the plus sign.
No, I said plus.
You said plus?
Yeah, right after the squiggly lines.
Oh. Well, you didn't say it right.
The thing I always get in my head is there is a triangle, but there isn't a triangle. There's no triangle, which is the thing that always makes me laugh. Like, what was Zener thinking? Why is there no triangle?
Because he was homophobic.
That makes sense.
Okay, so I have here 5 of them. And you know what? I'm going to do it a little different this time.
Okay.
I'm going to look at them and then pick the one that I'm going to... Have you read my mind?
Oh, that's easy. It's a square. Oh, close.
He was wrong. For those who aren't watching the video, it was a plus.
It was a plus. Plus is almost
and
a square.
There are no videos of this podcast.
Although we should do a video one someday.
Okay. Clap. Applaud now if you want to see us do a video version of this podcast.
Someone clapped. Someone did clap. I heard it.
No, that was a person. That guy dropped a book.
Well, I
downstairs.
I count that. That's still valid. I think in a court of law that passes.
Okay.
Now, David, time to test your psychic ability. Should I do the same thing? I'm going to hide it behind this computer screen, though, and I'm going to pick one and put it to my head.
Star.
Did you see the reflection of my glasses?
No, I didn't. I'm psychic. What do you mean? Did I see the...
Okay.
You're not looking now? You're scared?
You got the first one right. The star was correct. I'm a little frightened. I have to admit, the supernatural is super scary. Let's try this one.
Circle.
You can see, though, can't you?
What are you doing? Was that right?
Yeah.
Why'd you put it away?
Because, no, I'm just shuffling it back into the
pile. Oh, you didn't show it to me.
It was right.
Okay.
It was totally right. So you got a star and a circle. Now we're into, like, creepy territory. Is this where David gains a superpower and I don't? That's bullshit. Why don't I get one? Okay. I'm sure you can see the reflection. Is this what's going on? I'm not gonna look.
Uh-oh.
Because I don't want you to get
circle
it.
Circle again.
It was the star.
Oh. I was gonna say. I was gonna repeat, but based on you actually looking. Hold on, a star is a very pointy circle.
He's right. Judges?
I'm just a little disappointed how you immediately put the circle away in disgust and anger.
I was.
We're supposed to be rooting for each other being psychic.
Well, up to a point.
Okay.
All right, shall we get to the...
Are we done? Oh, yeah, sorry.
Let's do... Let's get Fakey Five out of the way now.
Okay.
And then that way we can get right to 10.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Because I think you've gone first a few times.
I have.
Now, you might... This is one you might get.
Okay.
Okay? Not because you necessarily know, but because...
I have a 1 in 5 chance?
No, I think you can deduce, you can think about it. It's something in your air, probably something you've experienced.
Ooh.
It's VDs. No, I'm joking. It is... Okay. You know the site 4chan?
Yeah, I'm aware of its reputation.
4chan has a number of boards. All the content of 4chan is among the boards.
I am not a 4chan user or member.
Okay. Neither am I, but I'm familiar with it. I've occasionally gone to something.
Yep.
So there's about 70 to 90 boards.
Okay.
Topics.
Square.
And I'm going to name 5 of them. 4 of them are real. 1 of them is made up.
Okay.
And you always ask, this one for sure is not, the made up one is not also an actual one.
Okay.
Number 1.
Do it.
Weapons.
It's probably real.
Number 2. Handsome men.
Possibly real.
Number 3. Shit 4chan says.
Doesn't exist.
Number 4. Sugar.
Interesting.
Number 5. Pony.
So the last three, well, sugar, shit 4chan says, and pony is where I'm zooming in right away. Zooming in. Because I feel like the handsome man is probably...
I may be in that one. That's all I'm saying.
I don't see why 4chan wouldn't have that. And the very first one was...
Weapons.
Weapons, which I just would assume that they have weapons.
Okay. So you're assuming there were weapons of mass destruction, and you're going to go in and...
Yeah, I have to invade. Sugar. Now, sugar's interesting. Like, do they mean, like, baking with sugar? Or do they mean, like, here's the real sugar, guys? Like, this is the good stuff. It's really sweet. Or are they just, like, it's just granulated sugar and piles of cane sugar?
It's part of a category called granules. Like, that's the main category?
It's one of the 5 senses. I don't know. Okay, sugar. Pony. Again, like, is it pony like the horses, or is that something else? And shit 4chan says. I'm going to say... Oh, God.
Do you want to see how shit 4chan says is spelled?
Is it spelled not the way I expect it to be?
Well, it's shit 4chan says.
Oh, I see. I still believe shit 4chan says is real. Although, maybe you made it up.
It would be in my alley to show it to you, to try to convince you, and then to say what I'm saying right now.
I'm going
to
say sugar is fake.
Damn it! That's right. Sugar is fake.
Oh, yes! I went there, wow. And I stayed there.
I thought it was a good one because it had multiple meanings. You might think it doesn't make sense in one way.
No, I almost went pony.
I went Pony this morning, actually.
Did you see... So what is Pony? Is Pony like My Little Pony Pony?
I assume it's My Little... I didn't look what they actually were, but I assume it's My Little Pony. Is it... I remember saying, My Little Pony is a phony.
Why would they have a whole forum thread to just look My Little Pony? Is it that engaging?
And then Handsome Men, like... The woman one is like very sexy women. Like, and then it's Handsome Men. You'd think it'd have the same type of name for men and women, but...
That is kind of annoying that they're not standard like that. My Fakey 5 is based on... We touched on this earlier. You asked about my...
Well, we didn't physically touch, just to clarify.
No. Heavens no. I don't know if you listened to the last SGU... Did you? But they cover...
Yes.
They talk... Okay, well, they talked about gluten and gluten intolerance and allergies. And so I suffer from colitis, which is an inflammation of the colon. So I had some particular interest in listening to that episode. So my Fakey 5...
Now, there'll be links to photos of Hans colon on our website for this episode.
You don't have to go to the web for that. Is about celiac disease, which is... True gluten, I guess, intolerance. It's not just an allergy. It's severe intolerance. Like, if you have gluten past a certain amount, you have pain and intestinal discomfort and all kinds of bad stuff goes on with you. And it essentially reduces your ability to absorb nutrients from food.
That's why I don't generally eat nutrients.
So most people who suffer from celiac disease, they can treat themselves by just reducing the gluten.
Getting an ice cream.
Yeah. Treat themselves. That's what they usually do. So my Fakey 5 are, these are five factoids about celiac disease, and one of them I've obviously made up or tweaked in my own way.
I tell you made it up, you tweaked.
Yeah, I generally tweak. I'm a big tweaker. So anyway, so let's
let's get the party started.
Let's get the party started. Number one, the first record of celiac disease was in the 2nd century CE or 2nd century AD for those of you who are
British
going to the system. 2nd century, so that's pretty old. Number two, it affects between 1 in 100 and 1 in 1,000 people in the United States, or I guess that's between 1 and 0.1% population.
Well, I know that one is not the fake, because that's what they said on the podcast, I believe. Huh. I remember the 100,000 numbers in their discussion.
All right. Although that's not
so
what I said.
So it's Fakey 4.
All right. Number three, people of African, Japanese, and Chinese descent are rich.
Hold on. Last week, I immediately eliminated the one that was correct. And then you strung me along for about an hour.
I'm not gonna give it away. Number three, people of African, Japanese, and Chinese descent are rarely diagnosed with celiac disease. Number four, celiac disease is more prevalent in men than in women. And number five, cereals such as quinoa and rice are safe for people with celiac to consume.
Cereals?
Such as quinoa and rice, yeah.
I thought rice was something that had gluten that would obviously, I guess...
Now, let me be more specific. It's they say gluten, which covers a lot of things, but celiac disease, it's an allergy to certain types of gluten, I guess is the real truth of it.
Now, is glue also something that... Okay.
Yes.
So, read the four again. Okay, 2 CE, then the one that's not going to be the correct answer.
It affects
and what's the third one?
People of African, Japanese, and Chinese descent...
African, Japanese, and
Chinese descent are rarely
African,
diagnosed.
African, Japanese, and Chinese. So you left Korean out of there very suspiciously.
I am Korean, and I left myself out because...
Normally, it's
I didn't want to sway
people who have parties
there.
Who leave you out, but this time it was you, okay?
I generally like to exclude. I'm self-excluding. Number four was a celiac disease is more prevalent in men than women.
Japanese or otherwise?
Well, yeah.
And number five, cereals such as canola and rice are safe for people with celiac to consume. Excuse me.
So the problem is, if this was made up entirely, I would immediately say number one. But you've altered. So I don't see you altering that one. Like, it was four CE, and you're like, I'm not going to make it two.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. So... I don't even think you would do a numeric alter, really. So it's a shame that I can't go with one. Men. You can easily alter men and women. The Russian, no. African, Chinese, and Japanese. That's something that can be altered. And the last one can be altered. So am I abandoning number one, the one I love so much? And what do I make of the way you laughed about that? There's no time limit on Fakey 5. I can go all day.
Good. Fakey 5.
Should there be a 5-minute limit?
You really want to get this right.
I always want to get it right.
Oh. And maybe you'll learn something about celiac disease.
More prevalent in men.
You're trying to, like, think if it makes sense now?
No, I'm trying to remember what they said in the podcast. If that makes sense. If
they didn't talk too much about. They didn't talk too much about celiac disease, specifically.
I remember.
Okay.
That 100 to 1,000.
Okay.
Would Japanese, Chinese, and African be something you'd make up? Like, would you change it from Hungarian, Costa Rican, and Canadian? It's a weird to link Africa and then just two Asian-y things. Why just two? There's so many more Asian-y things.
Well, I will say...
This is where you say something.
I will say that... no, I'm not going to say.
Okay, so that one is true. So we have two remaining. We have more prevalent in men, and then something about cereal and rice. Can you read those again, please?
Celiac disease is more prevalent in men than in women. Cereals such as canola and rice are safe for people with celiac to consume. By consume, I mean eat.
Oh, okay. So I thought it would rub on the body, but okay. I can't. I have to eliminate the men and women because you're not just going to eat men, not women, or women, not men, or equal. I was clever. So it's.
Well, does that make get number five for you then? But,
or should I just go back to number one? How would you alter, like, what would be an actual one for you to alter to be first in 2 CE? I don't like the way you said CE.
I didn't say it's 2 CE, I said the second century.
What? Aren't we in the second century? I thought it was a year or two, somehow. Second century. What are we in now?
The 23rd
century. Oh, okay, yeah.
22nd.
So still way back.
You're thinking millennia.
See, so that seems like, oh, that's so long ago. Like, read that one again, this?
Oh, no, the first one?
Yeah.
First record of celiac disease was in the 2nd century CE. Was in the 2nd century CE, yeah.
Now, normally it's named after the person who discovered it. Is Dr. J. Celiac or patient Marty Celiac? Don't tell me celiac's a part of the body, is it?
Well, it's not named after the person who discovered
it. Okay, so it's either the first or the last one. First or the last one. Okay. If it's circle... The first circle... If it's circle, I'm going to go first one, and square is the last one. The first one I get. Ready? Nope. Nope. Number one.
It was... More prevalent in men than women. Sorry.
What was that based on?
It was more women than men.
You loser. This will be the last episode of the Dave and Han show. In the future, it'll be the Dave and someone else show. I'll let you know next week.
I'm so sorry.
Who it is.
I'm so sorry that you're so disappointed by that.
I am so disappointed.
I thought it was obvious that that would be the one, but maybe not. Well, it makes sense. Okay, so the celiac disease of the first one in the second century, it was discovered by an ancient Greek. He was actually like one of the very first physicians who actually practiced anything that could be considered medicine. And he had a theory of how it worked and so on and so forth. And recorded it as celiac.
Did he have a beard?
What's that noise? The two, as you know, number two was, yeah, is correct, from the show. Number three, African, Japanese, and Chinese descent. That's because, I think it's, I mean, I'm kind of reading into it, but it's, you know, it's celiac disease is triggered by wheat allergy, or gluten, that type of, so it's like
and
the
there's
breads.
No wheat in Africa.
No, but they don't eat wheat. They eat more like starchy potatoes and stuff. And in Asia, they eat rice, which is also doesn't trigger, which ties into why canola, right. Rice, and so forth are safe to eat.
Yeah, I thought that those...
You took the mic off.
No, I moved it up. Oh, I'm talking now? Well, you can still hear it the other way, but I moved... I didn't take it off.
Okay,
I raised
yes.
it.
Yes. So you could have tied those
I
together.
Thought... Also, that the African thing was some sort of regional crop thing.
Right.
But I didn't pick up... I didn't realize Asians eat a lot of rice, and rice wasn't the last one.
Yes. So I guess it was kind of tricky by what I said. The celiac disease is more prevalent in men than women. That is
Why
tricky.
Is that tricky?
That's, well, it's hard to know if you don't... Not aware. It's,
aren't they all hard to know?
But 3 and 5 match together. Number 2, you'd already known. So you could have cut it down to the 1st and 4th.
The funny thing is, but I guess no matter what... Okay, I would have went with 5, although I should have went with 5, based on my own logic and thinking.
You mean number 4?
No, the...
Cereals. Oh.
I was choosing between 1 and 5 at the end.
Yes.
But yeah. I already eliminated 1 kind of earlier.
But what I'm saying is, because of number 3...
I know 3 and 5 are linked.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, stop yelling.
Yeah, all right.
Are we done?
Yes, well done.
No, are we done?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Well done. You got it. You won, Picky 5. I lost. Are you happy?
What, did I pick it right? Oh, yeah, I did. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
What was it?
Sugar.
Sugar.
Because sugar. I'd never heard of it as, like...
Sugar.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past 4chan as having sugar, but it's just the one that I was drawn to. Speaking of drawn to, shall we talk about our skeptical topic, blabber?
No. Before we do that, I would like... It's a time to joke.
Okay.
My friend is shagging twins, and I asked him how he tells them apart. He replied, "Oh, it's easy. Jane has blonde hair, and Derek has a cock."
Nice.
You've met them before, right? Okay, so what skeptical blather? Okay, lead us.
Shall we talk about TAM 2013?
What's TAM? Many people are asking right now.
TAM stands
head.
For the Amazing Media. Meaty?
The Amazing Media Presentation.
The Amazing Meeting, which is put on the JREF, otherwise known as the James Randi Educational Foundation, which is a kind of skeptical society that investigates just extraordinary claims.
Now, I read somewhere because when people asks what
are
this
these
stupid
Japanese
convention,
African? Okay.
Like, what's this dumb convention you're going to in Vegas? It's in Vegas, by the way. Loss. What do you say?
I usually tell them it's like a science and skepticism conference.
And then when they stop talking to you, what do you say?
I say, I get to meet a lot of authors there.
And then when they... Anyways. I read on the forums, on JRF forums, I think there was, or Tim Farley, something about Tim Farley, had a good answer to that question. Like, what is this? What is?
I wish I heard that then.
Because the answer is, well, this TAM is basically, I guess, I don't know if it's about skepticism itself, but it's basically the intersection of science and consumer protection.
Consumer protection. Nice. When you say consumer protection, that's the great phrasing.
Yeah.
Great word choice.
That's kind of, I think visually or just mentally, people can get an idea of what it, especially this Fight the Fakers one was.
Right. That was the theme of this year. Dave and I have been to another TAM, which was TAM 9 from Outer Space, which I guess was space themed.
Yeah. And then there was one last year, but both of us didn't go.
I didn't go. You went.
Yeah.
Okay. And how was it? What was the theme?
We were both supposed to go, but
I ended up not going.
Right. There was some malarkey there. But let's talk about TAM 2013.
Sure. So, yes, the theme this year was Fight the Fakers, which is, I guess, an aggressive... Oh, my computer just turned off. An aggressive...
It was all about Han's computer turning off.
Happened a lot. I guess aggressive campaigning against people who take advantage of... consumers, I guess.
Yeah, little consumers.
Little consumers.
So, Han, it's time for Han's review.
Of TAM?
Yeah.
I enjoy TAM 2013. As we've said, I went to one before, so I knew what to expect. Like any conference, you're just like on your feet or in a chair all day, intaking a lot of stuff, and then at night it's just generally either drinking or, in Vegas, I guess, gambling or sightseeing, that type of thing. So you have very full days. It's not really relaxing vacation, but at the same time, it's not stressful either in that way. It's just you're busy. So there's always something to do and take in. And, yeah, I learned stuff. I don't know that it was as, say, amazing as my first time, which was super great.
Really?
Well, in some ways, yeah. What's wrong?
Nothing.
I thought you were hitting buttons and... I think the first time I was just overwhelmed with like all the stuff that was going on, and this time, since I knew what to expect, I felt a little more relaxed. But the content, some of the talks I felt were a little not as interesting as like when I went the first time. I was like, oh, everything was amazing, and this time I was like, there were amazing talks for sure, but some of the talks also I was just like, I can take it or leave it, or something I've already heard in other forms. Or it was just a really long kind of thing, and whatever. So I still enjoy it. I definitely would go again.
Will you go again next year?
I can't promise that.
Why not?
Because I don't know what my plans are for next year. I could be doing something.
But you know what a lot of people do? They plan around TAM, right? Like they,
I know they do.
But you are unable to do that.
I'm not interested in doing that.
You're not interested in doing that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So you would go again.
If it looks like I have the ability to go, I will go. I don't want to make a promise about me going. And
so what you're saying, though, is you will plan your year regarding everything else as normal. And then, after all that's done, if you're free that time, you may go.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a little different than the guy who's like, oh, I want to go again, or I will go again.
Yeah, but I didn't say next year.
Okay, you just meant before you die, you want to try
it
again.
Well, the thing is like, this year also, like I said, I didn't look at the speaker list, and having seen it again now, I don't know that I would have been that thrilled to go, because there were only really a handful of speakers that I'm really interested in hearing.
And you had them in your hand?
Well,
handful
two hands.
Is a weird... unit of measurement when it comes to people. I don't even know what that means. Like,
Handful.
Like what items are you putting in your hand?
Several.
Like testicles, grains of salt, bowling balls. It's just a weird.
It's not my hands.
Acorns? Acorns,
God's
right?
hands. They're God's hands.
Acorns? Would that be a good.
If I could shrink them down to the size of acorns, yeah, I think that's about right.
I'm just curious what a handful means when you're talking about people.
No, obviously you're talking about tiny little acorns with their names printed on them.
No, I'm trying to get a number when you say a handful.
Just like when you say, like, a handful of cars or a handful
I don't ever say that. And I especially don't say a dozen or scores. Those are words I don't like.
Why?
Especially dozens killed, like... Is this a time to hate suddenly?
Sounds like
you hear a lot
on,
like
Mike.
Dozens were killed in our tornado. Like, it's like lack of respect to count the dead in terms of eggs.
You're the one who just makes comparison with eggs and donuts and 12s.
Have I brought this up before in the.
You know, in America, they go by 12s and their units of measurement, so I don't think it's really that disrespectful.
What goes by 12s?
Like inches?
Ounces?
Ounces?
No, there's not 12 ounces in anything.
Well, there's 12 inches.
I've got 12 inches right here, dude.
There's,
Okay, so, anyways, in summary, you said you liked it, and you gave it a glowing review, and you go again. But then, when we dig deep, he's not really planning to go again next year. Maybe if everyone he knows dies, and he's just alone...
Why does this bother you?
Because it's showing that it wasn't the best experience ever or really enjoyable if you don't not really keen on returning for a while. That's what I'm getting. Like,
well, I mean, one good thing about this time I went is that I actually went to the bar and hung out with people that way, and I found out like that's the best way to meet people.
Get them drunk
like the first time, yeah. Is to, like last time, well, in 2011 or last time we went, I felt like they had like social events, but it wasn't really social in that you get to meet other people. It's just social in that it's not educational directly.
Well, I agree completely. Like, if you don't already know the people at the convention,
it's pretty much a room of strangers.
Nothing that really, other than the meals. For the meals, you sit at a table randomly with people and you start talking.
Yeah.
Other than that, and that's not a conventional mixer, there's nothing to integrate the loners and strangers to the herd.
Yeah.
And I've mentioned this each year to JREF, and I filled out a survey this year and I specifically said I'd like to help work with you guys on making some event
more fun.
But I haven't heard from them yet.
Because they talk about community and all this stuff and outreach, and it's like, we're still a room, to me it seems like a big room of strangers where we just read about each other's activities, but we don't actually know anybody.
Each year I see...
And this is a room of like the most introverted people in America, or in the world, I suppose. Yeah.
Each year I see... weirdo loners and weirdo couple, not weirdo, just saying people who are hanging out alone kind of, or couples who are kind of hanging, and then throughout the convention, and I'm one of them, throughout the convention, I just see them generally alone the whole time, like, so.
Yeah, it's a group of people who are socially awkward, generally speaking.
But.
That's a high rate of socially awkward people.
Like, there's. The majority of the people all know each other from previous TAMs or forum or whatever. And then there's the, like, I'd say like 70% of the people are the core. Everyone knows each other and hangs out and drinks and laughs and has fun. And then there's small little groups. And then there's the outliers. And there's a lot of them, like 15-20% of the people.
I think a big... are us, the isolated strangers who can't get onto those little islands. But I think part of the issue is that a lot of these people, they know each other because they have their own little skeptical groups that are, like, they're in their city or in their state. Whereas for us, we tried hanging out with CFI people, but...
Well, Toronto doesn't really have a Toronto skeptical group.
Yeah, there's no single strong one, especially that's one involved with JREF.
Right. Should we start one?
What do you want to call it?
Doesn't matter what we want to call it. Should we start one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I think we've talked about it once before, but let's maybe
ramp it
up a little more, the attempt.
I'll write a sentence.
Are you just saying this because you're under pressure on a live podcast with
listeners? It to happen. My idea was, like, why don't we get CFI on board with it?
But CFI...
Yeah,
why do you want CFI? First of all, they're not technically a skeptic or even atheist group.
Okay.
And they're going through all sorts of problems. And...
Yeah.
Most major cities have, like, city name skeptics, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so will we just officially
Why don't you talk
declare...
about your TAM experience?
It was okay. I was going to ask you a little reviews of the extracurriculars.
Oh, yes.
Now, one thing, by the way, is here's a little fun tidbits about Han, right? He is literally impossible to satisfy. Like, he'll never be satisfied or totally impressed or... I'm exaggerating, but he's it's hard to please Han. At the same time, Han is both Korean and Canadian, a double whammy of politeness. He will never say his true feelings or express dislike publicly. He's scared to say, like, oh, that sucked, or like, no, those people are a loser. Like, he'll always sugarcoat things. Sugar.
Yep.
And never really give you the true negative feelings.
Possibly right.
So, let's talk about the extracurricular activities, okay? First, there was this is a little TAM event review, mini reviews from Han. First, there was that What They Won't Tell You.
What was that one?
The one with that bearded guy and the other guy and their... What They Don't Want You to Know.
Those two guys?
Yeah, those two guys.
Oh, that was awful. I hated that.
Okay.
I should say some people might like it, but for me, it was awful. Yeah.
Okay. I agree. Well, it wasn't boring, but it wasn't entertaining or exciting. There was some funny clips, some interesting things that they showed in video, but they weren't really good just talking, and one guy was very awkward talking. And yeah, it wasn't worth the money.
We paid for that?
Yeah. $800.
Ouch.
That's a lie, just anyone who was actually listening. Number two, there was the Satiristas, the comedy.
It started out, there were hits and misses. It was a variety
Father
show.
Father Guido Sarducci was there.
Father Guido Sarducci was definitely the highlight. He was super funny. Just thinking about him just makes me laugh yeah. right now.
Okay, yeah. I obviously haven't seen or heard of him since Saturday Night Live. Like,
yeah, I didn't know he was still around.
300 years ago. We thought he was dead. But he came on. He was hilarious. He was very, like, I just liked his type of humor, too. It was like, clever. Like, he talks like
he has a really good presence.
He talks kind of like a guy who doesn't really know a lot other than religious stuff or something. But in reality, he does clever, like he had a skeptical bent kind of. It was great. It was like an intelligent thinking man's jokes, puns.
Yes.
It was like
yes,
he was like the pleasant surprise.
He had food humor, which I love.
It was great. And then John Doerr...
The main...
Yeah, like the... Whatever. When I was there last year, it was Provenza, who was also great. But this year, the headliner was Canadian John Doerr.
Right.
And he also... I thought his stuff was great.
His stuff was really good.
Very, very funny. Great stuff. But then the rest were like... Eh.
Yeah.
The musical stuff. There was like...
Yeah, they had some...
You couldn't really hear... You couldn't distinguish the lyrics on some of the musical stuff, which... Then there was a weird smoking thing. I don't know. Like, thumbs up for Sarducci and Doerr.
That just made it worth right there. The other stuff was... It's just like any kind of, like, comedy show. It's a variety of
Although,
stuff.
Although, we didn't go the first year, but last year I went myself, and last year every comedian was great.
Mm.
There was no misses. But this year, easily, Sarducci and Doerr made up for everything. That was great.
Yes.
Then there was the magic show. Did we go to a magic show?
We did go to the magic show. Was that next, though? Well, there was. I think there was the donut party.
The donut party.
Which, of course, we only go there for the donuts and the bacon, and then we generally leave once the music starts.
Well, no, I stayed for a lot of the music once. I'm not into live bands really ever. I've never been to a concert. How's that?
I'm not really into Penn's bend on music, I guess.
I'm not into any band music. But let's just talk about the bacon is amazing. I don't know. I should get the recipe. And I had...
You had a record amount this time?
Last year, I had 20 strips of bacon. And this year, I had 21 strips. I broke my record.
Nice.
And I didn't had no ill feelings, like physically, that night or the next day.
I think bacon is pretty tasty.
Yes. And I haven't had a donut there, though. I'm not a donut guy, really.
You don't eat donuts?
Timbits. I'll do
Timbits.
That's
really strange.
I know, with my size.
No, but I thought you like snacks and sweets. It seems like donuts are the ultimate snack sweet.
Yeah, I know, but I like Timbits, so it's
and these
like
are,
a
these
donut.
Are Krispy Kreme donuts, yeah. Which are the creme de la creme of cream donuts.
The creme de la creme.
Yep.
And then there was the magic show.
Sure. The magic show The magic show was good.
Yeah, I remember being good.
There were some kind of slower bits.
The first lady, at the beginning, did like a half hour on one little trick.
Yeah.
It wasn't that entertaining, really.
I could figure that one out.
But the main guy was good. He did, like, I have a history of
main
magic.
Main guy, yes.
He did a lot of fooling tricks.
The glass-eating guy, whose name I forget.
Oh, that was also...
You didn't like that?
Because he literally ate glass. Like, it wasn't a trick. It was a stunt, I think.
I know, but it's a great stunt. I just enjoy it. I've never seen it done up close.
Do you want to try right now? I have a bulb here.
I don't know.
Okay. So, the comedy was good. The magic was pretty good.
And then there was the poker.
Then the poker...
Which was super fun, although we didn't do it very well.
I did better than 2 years ago last year.
I feel bad for taking a lot of Stephen Novella's money.
The poker is one of the highlights of the whole convention. It was very even though I left and I was playing real like cash poker for the next
two hours.
I kept checking in there.
Everyone hangs around.
It's much fun.
It's a real spectacle event. It's like a game show, and you're participating, and...
No, it is basically biggest highlight of the convention, other than, like, you know, some of the keynote speakers and whatever, and, like...
Yeah. And they have celebrities at the tables, which is, of course, what
right,
really
all
makes
the,
it.
Like, the lead speaker, kind of, and, like, well...
Poker
all
playing.
The novellas, like, more novellas than you can fit in a tuba.
Yeah. There,
It was a podcast.
Everyone's
and stuff.
Pretty friendly and
it's,
jokey.
It's like all fun.
It's a super. This is like it's a super fun way to meet people. But unfortunately, it's like on the last day or second
You're
last
right.
day.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Saturday night and the kind of end Sunday night. And it's a great way to meet people too. But like again, at the end of the thing, it's just so much fun.
Yes.
And I assume they'll keep going. Let's keep doing that each year.
It seems like a hit.
And, also, it went off without a hitch. Everything was just, like, there was no problems. Everything was great. And unfortunately, I didn't win. And actually, when I lost, nobody paid attention. I just left. There was no big applause when I left. But I knocked out. Who did I knock out? I knocked out, did I knock out Steve Novella?
No. He left before that happened.
Before what? I knocked out? I mean, did I eliminate...
No, you didn't knock him out. They rotated him.
Oh, yeah. He rotated him. But I knocked out the combination of Brian Dunning and then Michael Shermer, who played for him because he had like,
right,
too much to drink.
Neither of them were
the
really...
Shermer-Dunning... Shermer did not know how to play poker.
Yeah, and Dunning didn't seem to have his mind on poker.
Right, exactly. Both stand-up guys, though.
Yes.
They were both standing up. Oh, no, he was sitting for most of it.
Both sit wells.
Okay, so there you go. TAM 2013.
And well, what about the $1 million challenge? That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of enjoyed that.
No, other than some...
Technical.
Well, the technical was okay. Like, but the challenger, did not speak English. So there was a translator. So we didn't even know what he was actually saying ever, but it was a... But it was, I thought it was a well-designed challenge because it was short, relatively, like...
Yes.
Because last year
it went on for... really fun reveal.
2.5 hours. It was a... Yeah, everything was great. It was like a Geraldo... vault expose.
Yeah.
No, it was great. Like, it was such a perfectly designed experiment to be the challenge for a live audience.
Yeah, and it was really... Yeah, it's a real visceral event to, like, be able to hear the guy talking and explain why he wasn't able to predict and everything.
And it was a cliffhanger, too. Like, we win the room. It was, like, having, like, a thrilling moment. Unlike almost every other challenge. Like, okay, we got 6 right so far. This is the next 9. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like...
Yeah.
We just looked in, we saw the items, and like, he didn't get it. And there were chips.
There was a bag of chips.
And it was funny, later that night, I wanted to ask one of the guys who were kind of running the challenge if the bag of chips, that was one of the items, was available for me to take and eat.
Yeah, it was, now talking about it, it does seem like a really fun TAM.
Too bad you just vowed never to return.
Yep. Too bad.
Okay, let's get some stupid little, my stupid, hated things out of the way quickly. We're already 55 minutes.
Well.
Word or phrase. I have a phrase, paying the horny hermit. I don't know what it means.
You don't have a definition?
No, I thought we could figure it out now together.
Okay,
paying the horny hermit.
Okay, now here's my question. Have you seen the show called It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I've seen season 1 and select other episodes.
Do you enjoy the show?
Yes.
Okay. But you've not seen...
Is there a horny hermit on it?
Well...
Did I just make a phrase?
Paying the horny hermit just reminded me of this play that Charlie puts on called The Nightman Cometh. And it's about the troll toll. You have to play. You have to pay the troll toll. The troll's toll. Anyway, there's a lot of double entendres in that play.
That's not on Netflix, right? They don't do good stuff.
They do. That's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I've got a lot to watch tonight.
It's on Netflix.
Okay, this is great. This is amazing.
Well, sorry, it's on American Netflix. Sorry.
You son of a. Are you serious?
Yes.
First of all, what does that mean? How do I get on American Netflix?
Well, you have to fool Netflix into thinking you're American.
I can't believe you were just like...
It's really easy. I can tell you how to do it later. Do you want to turn this into a nerd alert?
I use Apple TV. Well, you know what my nerd alert is? A very quick one.
Well, no. I have a new word or phrase. We've got to figure out your word or phrase first.
Okay, so
paying the
horny hermit means
paying the horny hermit.
Yeah.
Well, I okay. Here's what
something
it is.
About masturbation. I'm thinking.
Yeah, you pay a website so you can see the porn, so you can masturbate.
So
paying
you call
horny
that
hermit.
Normally weekdays, right? Anyways, okay.
Well, I don't usually do it when the sun's out, but.
Well. Both the son and the daughter should be in bed by then.
Woo! My new word, or
not
phrase.
Together, not together. What?
My new word phrase.
Well, if you live in a
slash
a
phrase.
Shack, you only have one bed.
So that's paying the hermit. What?
Horny hermit.
Paying the hermit forward. Mine is pulling an all-fighter.
Okay.
Instead of pulling an all-nighter.
Right, yeah.
It's when you respond so quickly and with such rage on someone. That you escalate the emotional tension by several degrees.
So like I've done that to you a few times.
Yeah, or you're just like...
Pulling an all-fighter?
Yeah. So that's when you suddenly become so angry, you just start going on a barrage at someone.
So it's called a freak-out.
Yeah, like a freak-out.
Okay.
But it's more fun to say pulling an all-fighter.
I don't think that's going to stick.
I'm going to start using it. I'm going to start pulling an all-fighter.
Okay,
But you said you had a nerd alert or something?
Yeah, no, I was going to, what happened to it? Oh, celebrity quote.
Oh.
This is a skeptics edition.
Nice.
And this might have been a quote on the SGU.
You're just making this up now?
No. Because the quote sounded familiar to me.
Okay.
It might have been said at TAM for some reason, or an SGU quote. The quotation is that weird to say, call it quotation? Human decency is not the result of religion, it precedes it. Human decency is not the result of religion, it precedes it.
Oh.
Was that said by Christopher Hitchens, Carl Sagan, or Stephen Jay Gould?
All these are good candidates for saying this, but I'm going to go with Stephen Jay Gould.
Wrong!
What?
It was Christopher Hitchens.
Oh, I thought for sure it would be Gould.
Well, he might have said it too.
Because he's interested in, like, history.
I know,
because
I was
going to
pick. I know. I was going to. First, I had Hitchens, Sagan, and then. What's the guy's name? I already forgot. The god is.
Eos God?
No. The god is not great.
What? What's god is not great is Hitchens.
No, the god delusion. What's his name?
Oh,
I wrote his name
Dawkins.
And I erased it. Dawkins. But then I thought, like, no, I want to pick someone who might, he might think have said that. And you went with the guy I said, like, wait, that.
Yeah, because he's interested in human history.
Right.
So he would know about something coming before religion.
Yeah, so my trap worked.
It was Hitchens.
And dangerous wager. Okay. You're familiar with brassieres, right?
Visually?
In any way.
Okay.
What are you doing? You're
turning off my alarm.
What time's your alarm set for?
It's set for midnight. Well, it's been going off, if you haven't noticed.
I haven't noticed.
Okay.
And it's not midnight yet.
Well, I'm
so
turning
why would your
it
alarm
off,
be going
so
off if it hasn't. If it's
well,
not midnight.
It's a repeating alarm. It will go off again in a few minutes. So I'm just stopping.
What was
it
the initial time it was set for?
11:40 something.
You know brassieres, right?
You mean visually?
Okay. For $1 million, all you have to do is tell me who invented the brassiere. I want three things. The name they had when they were born. The name they had when she died. I gave you a hint. And the nickname her parents called her.
So just the first names?
I want full names.
Oh, that's no way I'm going to get it. My guess when she was born is Jeanette Measley.
Okay. That's wrong, but now that's over.
Are the initials even close?
Born Mary Phelps Jacob. And that's, I think, that's the name that it's credited under.
Okay.
When she died, I guess she married or something, and whatever. Her name, I don't know, I guess she changed her name too. Her name was Caress Crosby, and her parents called her Polly.
Polly, sweet Polly.
And we're already at a minute. We're at 1 minute and 3 seconds. No, we're at an hour and 3 minutes. Do you have a would you rather?
I do. David.
Yes?
Would you rather have an app that controlled how drunk you felt? Or I don't know why that's so funny.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
I know.
Or do I have to drink and then use the app? Or can I use the app sober?
You can use the app sober. It works both ways. It can make you less drunk while you're drunk.
Wait, so if I'm sober, I can
make
use the
drunk
app and select super drunk feeling?
Yeah. It can make you sickly drunk. It can make you deathly drunk.
But is there hangover the next day? Is that like?
No, you can start dialing it back. As long as you remember to dial it back.
Okay. Or?
Because you metabolize normally.
But it's psychological, right? Is there alcohol in my system? Is it like hooked up?
I don't know how it works.
Okay.
Or have an app that controlled how tired you felt.
But, okay. This is very, very easy to pick.
Is
I'm
it?
Picking the second one. It's so simple to pick.
Why?
Because I can drink. I'm good at drinking and then limiting how much I drink to how drunk I want to feel. I have complete control over...
Yeah, but
this glass is my app.
Okay? Yeah, but there's...
Can't control really how tired I feel.
Yeah, but now you have to worry about, like, you know, the side effects of alcohol, hangovers, and all that sort of stuff.
But I know what I'm doing. I'm an expert at drinking.
Liver problems.
But... So it is just mental. So there's no physical harm with the app?
Yes. Okay, let's say there's no physical harm. I think that makes sense.
I don't think I drink too much, too much. So I don't think I'm going to die of liver problems. No, I'm still going with the second one. Han.
Okay.
Would you rather have no kids and no chance of kid, just no kids, or a 75% chance that your child will be born a quadriplegic?
Yikes. That's a real ethical dilemma.
Mm.
This is just like the train, the trolley and the children. Do you know that?
No one's dying in my...
75% chance of a quadriplegic.
Yeah. A happy, healthy quadriplegic.
Yeah, but it's still ethically...
You're right.
It's like saying, yeah, it's a very strong ethical question, a very personal question, but I will try to think it through. Is it ethical for me to have children that... So, okay, state your stipulations. I can't have children, and there's no chance of me ever having children. So I can have...
Yeah, so it's like a 0% chance of any child.
So I'm sterile, essentially.
Yes.
But I can still now copulate and all that jazz. Jizz?
Copulate all that jizz. Yeah, you can still insert your penis into various vaginas.
Okay.
Mouths.
I still get...
And aim.
Yeah, I still get the...
Angels, I was saying. What would you think?
Enjoyment. I'm looking for. And then what's the second one?
Whatever child you produce will have a 75% chance of being quadriplegic, which I don't even think is maybe not even biologically possible for a child to be born already quadriplegic, but that would be the case.
Quadriplegic means there's something wrong with, they can't control their limbs.
Yeah, they have arms and legs they don't really have use of.
Quad, four, plegic.
Their tail, though.
Gosh, what a choice.
Do you want to think about an answer next week?
Well, here's the thing. It's like, I would pick the second one because I don't have to have children. I can just choose to make that decision later. Right? It's not forcing me, you have to have a child now, and they're going to, this is 100% chance.
Did you find a loophole in this?
In both cases, I can just choose not to have children.
I have to talk to my lawyers and get back to you on this. We'll discuss this next podcast.
I'm picking the second one.
Wait, I need a lawyer. Wow, you found a loophole.
Is that obvious to you now? Well, I feel
can I change it to and have to have at least one kid? No, as stated, you win. Because I said any child you have, right?
Yeah, which...
Okay, so you win. You found a way out of it.
Well, I don't know that I win.
Yeah. So...
Although, who knows? Maybe that's the truth of it, and you've just doomed me.
Okay, let's wrap this up.
Wow.
Do you have a parting thought? I don't mean one you're making up right now.
Do I have a parting thought?
Yes.
I do not.
Neither do I.
Unfortunately, I don't. I have a Am I the Only One, but not a parting thought.
Am I the Only One?
Yeah.
Is that a new segment?
That was a segment I've done before. Twice.
I don't remember.
Am I the Only One? That's how it starts.
What were the previous two?
I don't remember. One was about when I close my eyes, put my hand in front of my face, I get a buzzing sensation.
What? Was I in this podcast?
Yeah. We totally did this. It was
a buzzing sensation?
You
excuse me, you probably weren't paying attention.
That's entirely possible. Or I've since forgotten.
Yeah.
Also entirely possible. Because with this...
Am I doing this one now? Or
yeah, do it.
Am I the only one? When I'm with a group of people...
Hold on. I do remember answering directly if you were the only... I said, yes, you're the only one. And then we moved on or something. Or...
Yeah.
Okay,
you just
remember
wanted
that.
Your
I don't
quick
remember
little
actual...
comeback, but you don't remember what you were comebacking to.
Okay, so ask the question now.
When I'm with a group of people and my mind wanders, am I the only one who starts to examine closely the body language of the people in the room?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Are you?
Am I?
So you've lost track of what's been said because your mind was wandered.
Or it's like not relevant or some kind of topic that I'm not interested or have anything to
do with. The point is you haven't paid attention for some amount of time.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're... focusing again on the situation.
But I'm not on the topic, but the people themselves and their body language and what it is they're trying to say and how they're saying it.
Is that for you to figure out what you missed? Is that the point?
No, this is just kind of a fun mental exercise.
Oh, okay. So you're saying.
And I'm like observing people closely and seeing how they just talk.
You do that with me?
Well,
I'm generally very captivating. So
yeah,
mind
that's what I'm saying. It's like usually I'm listening to what you're saying.
Yeah, because I'm
talking more
a
like
great speaker.
I'm talking more like when I'm at work.
Easy on the eyes.
In a meeting. Or I'm in a bar and it's really loud and a couple other people are talking and it's not a topic I'm interested in hearing.
So are you mentally undressing people? Or
no.
Okay.
There's no undressing.
You've never undressed in your life?
I'm a never nude, so... That's it, folks. Unless there is more.
It's a shame we have to end on that, I think.
Yeah, well.
But whatever.
Maybe you should have a parting thought.
This is free, this podcast, so.
Undressing.
You get.
It's the parting thought.
Yeah. Wait. Right now, anyone listening, I want you to undress. No matter where you are.
Sure.
Wow.
Just pretend to.
Should we start over?
Dave.
Should we start over every episode so far?
I don't think so.
I don't think we've done it in the first few. Probably not.
Probably not.
But the last 10.
Let's start over.
Okay.
Episode 1.
We might have to since we've like when iTunes gets back to us and says new.
If they get back to us.
New. We're not having this. You want to do something more informative? That's fine. But this ain't gonna fly.
That's all she wrote.
You know, when I was looking at jokes, I just remember now one of the jokes that was... I actually Googled really bad jokes.
Okay.
I thought that one was good, though. The threesome or whatever.
Yeah.
Twins. One of them was, what do you call a fly with no wings? A walk. That's a really bad joke. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Where is the pointer? I have to click the square.